The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from the book 80 Things to Do When You Turn 80. Now, this one's a little bit longer than usual, but I want to get the whole thing in today. Returning Your Life Portfolio. This is by William A. Sadler, Ph.D. He's a leader, teacher, author, consultant, and elder. And the quote he has here is one I'm sure we've all heard. Do not regret growing older. It's a privilege denied to many. During 25 years leading up to my turning 80, I engaged in research, focusing on longitudinal studies of individuals who were creatively designing their lives after 50. From this research, I learned 6 principles of growth and renewal that lead to vibrant, purposeful living and personal fulfillment in the third age. I described these principles in 3 books and many articles, and I have tried to follow them in my third age. Aging has not been a vivid concept in my life planning until I passed 80. At that point, I felt that I had been dropped into a different country without a map or a trustworthy guide. It has taken me half of this 9th decade to figure out what I need to do in my 4th age. Reflecting on my research, I began to see that a central issue after 50 is to shape a new identity. The major question is not what should I do, but who do I want to become? I saw that in others, and it has also been a central question for me. To develop a new, mature identity leads into a creative process of designing a complex life. I have called this process shaping a life portfolio, similar to the creative process of artists who assemble their most important different art forms. In shaping our life portfolio, we ask ourselves, what do we want in our future? What is most important? How can we best express our core values in making a life that matters? And as we add new elements, we have to ask, what should we drop or cut back on doing? I've been learning that I have had to revisit and retune my third age life portfolio to better apply it to the challenges and changes I experience aging in my 9th decade. The first step has been to develop a positive, searching mindfulness that promotes being wide open to life now. A second step is to identify core values, crucial endeavors, and cherished relationships. This will guide me as I try to answer the question, what should I put in my future that will make it more meaningful? Research and experience show us that people age in different ways and at their own tempo. Every person's life is different. But looking at the lives of others, we can often learn something that helps us sculpt our own. I'm hoping that what I share in this brief essay can help you design a full life. Without suggesting a formula, I'm learning that much of what I want to put in my future, in my returned portfolio, can be categorized by L words. Here are 7 of them. Live consciously in the present. Be here now. Reflections from the past and anticipation of the future can be wrapped into now, but it's most important to pay attention to the day. I often ask myself after arising, what can I do today to have a good day or even a great one? Longevity is adding a new dimension to our lives. Our upbringing has not really prepared us to live so long. Even in our 80s, many of us may have a long, bright future ahead of us. We should ask, what is the purpose of this longevity? For many of us, it offers us a chance to keep developing our full potential, giving us time to fashion a better version of ourselves. This venture also calls for sustained self-care to keep us as healthy as possible so that we can continue growing and contributing to the world. Legacy is a term that shapes a sense of purpose and meaning, With longevity, we've been given new opportunities to enrich the lives of others by how we touch their lives and by how we model value-based aging. A challenge is to commit ourselves to what my friend Meg Newhouse calls Legacies of the Heart in the title of her inspiring book. To start this process, it helps to reflect on the positive legacies we have received from others. I'm finding this prompts gratitude that opens my heart to do to others what so many people have done for me. As we live our legacy, we build a way to age that is the opposite of the disengagement that a previous theory of aging declared was natural and inevitable. The way forward to positive aging is through engagement, involvement, and generous investment in individuals, communities, events, families, and a future enriched by our contributions. Leadership can still be an important part of our portfolio as we recover the ancient tradition of elders who set examples of right living toward a good end. Our society needs role models of people who are still reaching toward a fulfilling, purposeful life. I believe elder leadership is more about leading by example than by control. It can be especially powerful as we show young people a way forward that benefits others instead of exploiting them. Laughter is a distinguishing expression of happiness in humans, especially in children. In aging, it often seems to be fading away. We need to bring it back into our present. Healthy aging calls for reduction of stress where the level of cortisol is reduced by laughing. A friend who now practices making serious statements with humor put his changed outlook this way. When I was younger, I wanted more sex. Now I want more laughter. Well, it doesn't have to be either or, does it? Learning continues to be vitally important to me. It should have a large part in a senior life portfolio. It's essential for us to keep our minds healthy and alert, to combine brain training along with physical exercise. Gaining knowledge is a deeply important part of being human. Of all creatures on our planet, we are the most expert at it. This process keeps us engaged in the world and directed toward the future well-being. It also informs and sustains our friendships, work, and leadership. As an academic whose life has been shaped by disciplined learning, I know that it is most important forms occur outside the classroom. Lifelong learning feeds our understanding and imagination, nourishes novelty and our creative productivity, develops our curiosity and our sense of wonder. If we give up on learning, we really give up on life. Love is the heart. This is the final one. Love is the heart of a good life. And my returned portfolio needs to have more of it pulsing through every aspect. It points me outward to people who mean the most, wife and family, friends, both old and new, communities, and the world. Love also directs me toward life in varied forms, to beauty in nature and art, to activities of flow where I experience wonder, fun, and exhilaration. And increasingly, love leads me on an inward spiritual journey to revere the mystery and connections with everything. In my 80s, I'm returning my life portfolio as a response to the challenges of aging. I sense I'll have to do this all over again in the next decade, and I look forward to that opportunity. Now we're moving on to an article from Health Immunity magazine, Protect Yourself. This is a sidebar article to one that I had been reading to you, Three Eating Habits That Weaken Your Immune System. Going overboard with salt. You may associate excess sodium with problems like fluid retention and high blood pressure, but a new study from the University Hospital of Bonn conducted in both humans and mice, concluded that too much salt may lead to immune deficiencies. Researchers found that when the kidneys excrete excess sodium, a domino effect occurs that reduces the body's ability to fight bacterial infections. According to the CDC, more than 70% of Americans' sodium consumption comes from processed foods. That's why the best way to curb your intake is to limit highly processed products, like canned soup and frozen pizza. Check labels before you buy processed food to keep the amount of sodium in check. As for salting your food, one teaspoonful of table salt contains 2,300 milligrams of sodium. If you use salt sparingly to season fresh food, you can still remain under the recommended cap. For example, a quarter teaspoonful of salt, which is a generous amount if you measure it, provides 575 milligrams of sodium. 2. Consuming excess sugar. Cutting back on excess added sugar is a smart idea for a number of reasons, including good mental health. It's also beneficial for immune support. A study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition found that after an overnight fast, people who were fed 100 grams of sugar experienced a reduction in the ability of immune cells to engulf bacteria. The greatest effects were found between 1 and 2 hours later, but lingered for up to 5 hours. This doesn't mean you have to nix sugar completely, but avoiding an ongoing surplus or short-term overindulgence is a worthwhile goal. The American Heart Association recommends limiting added sugar, the kind added to foods by you or a manufacturer, to no more than 6 teaspoons worth per day for women and 9 for men. 1 teaspoonful equals 4 grams of added sugar, so that's 24 and 36 grams of added sugar respectively for women and men daily. Overdoing caffeine intake. Coffee and tea are health protective thanks to their high levels of antioxidants linked to anti-inflammation. However, too much caffeine can interfere with sleep, and that results can increase inflammation and compromise immunity. To best support immune function, ditch caffeinated beverages like soda and energy drinks that have no nutrients and that are made with sugar or artificial sweeteners. When you do enjoy coffee and tea, be sure to cut off your caffeine intake at least 6 hours before bedtime to prevent interference with your sleep. Now, from the same source, we're going to talk about 5 myths and facts about vitamin C. Everything you need to know about this essential nutrient. Most people know a thing or two about vitamin C, like that it's in oranges or that without it you can develop scurvy, as sailors famously did. But myths about this essential nutrient are also still fairly common, and the truth is that our knowledge about its benefits and functions continues to evolve. For example, did you know that vitamin C might help your cardiovascular health? A study from the University of Colorado Boulder found that a 500 milligram time-release dose of vitamin C had a protective effect on blood vessels that was similar to a walking workout, prompting some to dub vitamin C the exercise pill. Now, I wouldn't go that far. The study was small, including just 35 inactive, overweight, or obese adults, and the reasons to exercise go beyond blood vessel health. But this certainly suggests that vitamin C does far more for our bodies than support immunity. What else don't you know about vitamin C? Test your nutrition IQ with my 5 myths and facts about this fascinating nutrient. Myth: blasting a cold with vitamin C will fight it off. When cold and flu season ramps up, a lot of people load up on OJ and vitamin C supplements to avoid getting sick. But sadly, that may not be as beneficial as you think. While some research shows that people who regularly take vitamin C supplements may have slightly shorter colds or somewhat milder symptoms, for most people, boosting vitamin C doesn't reduce the risk of catching a cold. I say most people because there are studies that show that vitamin C cut cold risk by 50% in male athletes, but not in females. It is true that vitamin C is crucial for immune function and that it plays a key role in wound healing, but the best way to keep your immune system strong is to eat healthfully, including vitamin C-rich produce, all the time. Unfortunately, the latest stats show that 90% of Americans fall short on the recommended minimum of 1.5 to 2 daily cups of fruit and 2 to 3 daily cups of veggies. Fill that gap and you'll easily take in at least 200 milligrams of vitamin C daily, enough to keep your immune system well supported every day so you won't need to play catch-up. Fact: vitamin C deficiencies are rare. Our bodies cannot produce vitamin C, which is what makes this nutrient essential, meaning we must obtain it from food. But these days, a deficiency serious enough to cause symptoms, which can include bleeding gums, nosebleeds and swollen joints, bruising and rough, dry skin, is pretty rare. The recommended daily target for adults is 50 milligrams for women and 90 for men. Excuse me, that's 75 milligrams for women and 90 for men. Although many experts believe it should be raised to 200 milligrams, the amount that saturates the body's tissues. One medium orange provides about 70 milligrams, and scurvy can be prevented with as little as 10 daily milligrams of vitamin C. In other words, you're probably not at risk of a true deficiency, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't strive to get enough. Myth: citrus is the best source of vitamin C. While citrus is an excellent source of vitamin C, a veggie, bell peppers, comes out on top. 1 cup of chopped raw red bell pepper, about the size of a tennis ball, packs 200 to 300 milligrams of vitamin C, about 100 more than a cup of OJ. Other good sources include broccoli, Brussels sprouts, kiwi, strawberries, papaya, pineapple, and cantaloupe, as well as, of course, citrus fruits like oranges, tangerines, and grapefruit. Fact: adequate vitamin C intake helps weight loss. A low blood level of vitamin C has been linked to having a higher BMI, body fat percentage, and waist circumference compared with people with normal levels. And a study from Arizona State University found that vitamin C status might affect the body's ability to use fat as a fuel source, both during exercise and at rest. To reap vitamin C's weight control benefits, your best bet is to focus on being active and making your meals with colorful products and produce that's naturally rich in vitamin C. Myth: you can't get too much vitamin C. Your body can't store vitamin C, so when you consume more than you need, the surplus is eliminated by your kidneys in urine. That doesn't mean, however, that big doses can't create unwanted side effects. Vitamin C is one of the nutrients that has an established, tolerable upper intake level, or UL, essentially the maximum advised intake from food and supplements combined. For vitamin C, it's 2,000 milligrams a day, and while some people may be fine taking in this amount or more, megadoses of vitamin C supplements have been shown to trigger bloating and digestive upset, diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, heartburn, headaches, insomnia, and kidney stones. Bottom line, more definitely is not better. Just enough is, in fact, just right. And a sidebar item: 50% reduction in incidence of colds among male, but not female, athletes by boosting intake of vitamin C, according to some research. Now we're going to the AARP magazine, And the article titled Upfront, What I Now Know, and this is by Ellen Burstyn, the actress on Alice, Grief and the Importance of Kindness. And there's a really lovely picture of her here. Any other name? I've changed my name 8 times. I was born Edna Ray Gilluli. My mother had 3 husbands by the time I was 7, so the name kept changing. After I got famous, I couldn't change it anymore. Too many names were flying around. I was a child in World War II and remember collecting scrap metal and newspaper in my wagon for the war effort. We all pulled together. Whatever bad thing there is, there's the other side too. How people respond and don't get defeated by it. I know we're going to be okay. A role model. The inspiration of my life is my acting teacher, Lee Strasberg. I was a mess from Detroit, getting hired for my looks. I noticed Marlon Brando, James Dean, and Kim Stanley. They knew something. I went to Lee, and he stripped me down to my essence. Us too. When I started out, anybody on set was a white man except the actress and the script girl. Slowly, they brought in women, black people, Asian people, gay people. 60 years later, women are producers, directors, and grips. The change is remarkable, but real cultural change takes real effort and time. Oscar turn. During the 70s, women's movement, female characters were either the loyal wife who stayed home while the husband saved the world, the prostitute with a heart of gold, or the victim who was raped and murdered. I said, no, I want to do a movie about the woman, about the women I know. Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore gave voice to women bringing up children alone, getting jobs, breaking glass ceilings. On a lockdown. I stay indoors except for 1 hour a day when I walk in the park. I'm coping, but have dips. One day I had a sinking feeling of loneliness and a frisbee landed near me. I handed it to a little girl who said thank you, and my spirit lifted. I had made a connection with another human being. Kindness is really an important element of human interaction, you know. The Exorcist. I passed a group of people the other day, and a man said, Ellen Burstyn? I said, how can you recognize me with this mask on? He said, I've seen The Exorcist over 40 times. Your eyes are very familiar. Staying spry. What are you willing to do or to give up to stay vital? I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I eat healthily and I exercise. I just got a new stationary bike. You have to do the things that will get you there. And this story was as told to Natasha Stoyanov. Oscar, Emmy, and Tony award-winning actress Ellen Burstyn is 88. Co-stars in Pieces of a Woman, which premiered on Netflix in January. And a few more comments here from the Yes You Can, It's Your Turn Now, Take Control of Your Financial Life. Invest for your future. Target date funds enable a set it and forget it approach for retirement accounts. Brokerages and some 401k plans provide free or low-cost financial advice, robo-advising, to investors with relatively low balances. Investment fees and fund expenses fees are declining. Look for a target date fund named with a year near the one when you expect to retire. Consider robo-advisors with no minimum balance, Betterment, or a relatively low minimum balance, Wealthfront, Vanguard, Digital Advisor, or Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. FINRA.org, Investors, Learn to Invest, Investing Basics. This is useful resources. RoboAdvisorsPro.com, a guide to different robo-advisors. Potential savings. Target date costs are simply fund fees. Robos may use cheaper funds, but likely also charge 0.25 to 0.5% of assets annually. Human advisors generally charge 1% a year. why not to do this? Robo-advisors and target date funds cannot offer the reassurance and truly individualized guidance that come from a good human advisor. And one more thing, nearly 40% of investors who are 55 to 64 years old hold a single target date fund. And then start your estate plan. What's changed? Multiple online businesses now make it easy to create wills and other estate planning documents for little or no cost. Getting started, discuss your end-of-life wishes with loved ones. Review and update beneficiaries of life insurance, IRAs, and other retirement accounts, since those aren't determined by wills. Useful resources include joincake.com, freewill.com, trustandwill.com, and these are will writing services. Potential savings, at least several hundred dollars in lawyer's fees. Why not two? Either your family situation or your financial assets are too complex to enable simple bequests. And finally, one more thing. In a recent study, 46% of people with a will did not use a lawyer to draft it. And now with our remaining few minutes, some tips from my friend in Canada. And she doesn't have a resource for this, other than it's called Welcome to Tomorrow. Guess we'll have to come back in person to see if this forecast comes true. All of the following will likely become reality in the next 10 to 20 years. Many of us won't see the changes, but our kids and grandkids probably will. So we'll get a few of these in. Basic auto repair shops will disappear. Read on to know why. A gas diesel engine has 20,000 individual parts. An electric motor only has 20. Electric cars are sold with lifetime guarantees and are repaired only by dealers. It takes only 10 minutes to remove and replace an electric motor. Faulty electric motors are not repaired in the dealership, but are sent to regional repair shops that repairs them with robots. Your electric motor malfunction, light goes on, and so you drive up to what looks like a car wash, and your car is towed through while you have a cup of coffee, and out comes your car with a new electric motor. Gas pumps will go away. Street corners will have meters that dispense electricity. Companies will install electrical recharging stations. In fact, they've already started in the developed world. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.